the minutes in our service this morning by singing hymn 392. 392. How oft, alas, this wretched heart has wandered from the Lord.
How oft my roving thoughts depart, forgetful of his word. Hymn 392. Read from Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces is at this day. To the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near, and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was thus speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. May the Lord bless his word and help David in prayer.
O thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Wilt thou look down from the mercy seat upon us who are gathered here as sinners, who have nothing of our own to plead, but our hope alone is in the finished work of the dear Redeemer, that he has made reconciliation for our iniquity, as we have been reading, and brought in everlasting righteousness. Lord, this is our only hope of acceptance with thee. It is all in him, that he has done it all for us. Our only hope of eternal life, that Jesus has lived and died and risen again for us, and that now he ever lives to make intercession for us at the right hand of God. And we pray that the dear Holy Spirit may take of these great things and open our hearts to receive them, that we may be shown that the way of life is alone in Jesus Christ and him crucified. So we pray thy blessing upon each soul that is gathered in this house of prayer this morning. Oh, may it please thee, Lord, to come. Open our eyes. Unstop our ears. Grant a broken and a contrite heart. May we be found with good ground to receive thy word in honesty, in truth, into our hearts, and Lord, to be given grace to walk it out, to come before thee, Lord, pleading that thou would have mercy upon our souls, deliver us from the power of sin, of Satan, the attractions of this evil world, and cause our affections to be set on things above. Oh, that thou wouldest do it, that we might have true worship, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, what can we say? Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Oh, we pray that thy Spirit may so work among us today, Lord, that there may be many whose hearts may be touched by thy precious word, that they may go away and meditate on these things and call upon thee for salvation in a time when thou mayest be found. Lord, do not leave us to an outward form, just to words. It is something done in the soul for eternity that we see, that the dear Holy Spirit might come and open our eyes to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, to behold how he has fulfilled the law in the minutest detail, that on the behalf of his people, how he has suffered, bled and died to wash away their sins. Lord, was it for crimes that I had done he hung upon the tree? This is the great question. Am I his or am I not? Am I quickened by his Spirit? Is there a hope of eternal life for me? O, grant us each that cry unto thee, save, Lord, or I perish. Come, we beseech thee now. Shine upon the sacred page. May the word of the Lord be with divine power in our souls. May it grant us grace to go on, leaning upon thee. Lord, do not leave us to ourselves, for we must fall. We do cry unto thee for help in the services of thy house this day. We pray for our dear brother that thou wilt help him in reading the sermon this morning. May it be one that thou hast chosen, that it may do souls good. We pray that thou wilt come with Jonathan this afternoon, and that thy word may be precious in our sight, that thou wilt speak through him, that it may be thy word we hear. And we do desire to pray for Mr. John Rosier laid aside, O Lord, and what perplexity it brings that he cannot come. Lord, is there a voice in this? Cause us to hear it. Show us those things that thou art working. Grant us grace to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and to confess before thee, Lord, we are not worthy that thou shouldest speak to us, but in mercy wilt thou speak to us. We pray that thou wilt remember us as a church and people, and that thy word may have free course and be glorified among us, that souls may be quickened into life, that we may hear the cry of the lambs, the bleating of the lambs, the cries of souls that are crying unto thee for mercy, that thou wilt forgive their sins, the sin that doth so easily beset them. Lord, we all have sins that so easily beset us, and as we go on, the temptations of the wicked one, the attractions of this evil world, they seem to cleave to us more and more. And with one we would have to cry out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, that we might be able to say, I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. So, Lord Jesus, we look to thee. Wilt thou speak to our souls deliverance? Deliverance from the power of sin and Satan. Wilt thou send thy Spirit to reign in our hearts, to guide us and to keep us in the unknown way, and bring us at last to our desired haven, and all through thy free mercy and thy sovereign grace. O Lord God, grant us true worship before thee, the High and the Holy One, that inhabits eternity. Lord, we cannot comprehend thee, that thou didst create the worlds, the universe, by a word of thy breath, that thou dost know the thoughts and intents of every heart on this planet at one and the same time, and that thou dost condescend to visit worms of the earth and grant them thy grace and send thy Spirit to dwell there. What a God, Lord. Oh, grant us humility before the High and Holy One, and to confess our wretchedness before thee, and pardon us and receive us for Jesus' sake. Help us to pray for each one in their cases here. Lord, we commend to thee our dear young friend as she goes into hospital this week. Do be with her. Grant thy healing hand. And help us to pray for others in affliction, and especially to remember Daniel Bousfield in the hospital. Wilt thou put thy healing hand upon him? Lord, thou knowest all things, but we pray it may be thy good pleasure to draw nigh to his soul on this thy day, and to bless him there in all his pain and affliction. On this day, we desire to remember the goodness of the Lord to us as a nation, and to thank thee, Lord, for all thou hast done, undeserved, and especially when thou didst grant deliverance in the wars. Lord, as one used to say, thou didst turn back the armies of the alien. Only thou couldst do it. And what wondrous miracles were seen in that time, in the Second War especially, that we know about. And yet, Lord, how our nation has turned its back on thee. And Lord, we mourn what we see. And we pray, if it might be thy good pleasure still, to put forth thy hand and turn the hearts of men again to thy precious word, and to seek God, and to desire to walk in the way of thy commandments. And Lord, that thy word might rule and reign among us, and not the wicked desires of men. And we mourn all those awful things that are now on our statute book, contrary to thy holy law. But Lord, we do pray, turn the desires of men to walk in thy ways again. And Lord, keep us here. Our hearts, oh how they wander. Bring us back. May sovereign mercy call return. We pray for our brother that thou wilt help him now. And Lord, that thou wilt forgive the many things that we have left out of our prayer that ought to have been included. But, O Lord, forgive all that has been amiss and receive us now for Christ's sake. And may the blessing of the Lord which makes rich rest upon each soul here. Oh, do remember, Lord, those, our dear young friends, as they grow up into life. For we cannot conceive what they may see in their lifetimes if spared. And do remember others in whose heart thou hast not yet begun that good work of grace, if it might please thee. O Lord, we would consider the signs of the times. Are they not pointing to thy imminent return, that thou wilt soon wind up the heavens as a scroll, that we each must soon stand before thy judgment seat? Prepare us for that great and awful day, we ask of thee. May we not put it off. May we be found with oil in our vessels and our lamps burning. And Lord, we would pray for thy people everywhere who endure persecution, affliction and war, and that thou wilt grant them much needed grace. Are there not thy people everywhere? And we would pray for them, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt manifest thyself unto them as well as unto us and support them under the trying load. So hear us and forgive. For Jesus Christ's sake we ask. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 181, 181. Believers own they are but blind, they know themselves unwise, but wisdom in the Lord they find, who opens all their eyes. Hymn 181. try and read you a sermon preached by Mr. Popham. And you'll find the text in the chapter we read, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. This greatly beloved man Daniel was one of the captives, one of the seed royal, who by God's favour was advanced to a high position in the court. He was a favoured man in many ways, chiefly in the possession of an unusual measure of grace and a strong confidence, so that he could say, "My God," and recount God's mercies to him and his people. By this we may see that great grace and great confidence in God may be in living exercise when the most humbling condition of external things is existing and felt, and also when the deepest humiliation, confessions and mourning fill the spirit. Should God show us this, it will clear at once from our minds what the enemy may seek to cover them with as a mist, namely that it is low, legal and depressing to confess our sins and to mourn. Indeed, what more fitting for Daniel and his friends and all the captives at that time, whatever their confidence in God, whatever their comfortable feeling as to their personal condition before God might have been, what more fitting than the confession of the condition of Israel and the sins that had brought it. May the Lord give us, dear friends, a spiritual view of where we are. If we have sins, blindness to them does not remove them. If we have a disease, it is good to know it. If the worship of God is not being carried on in our hearts, as the word directs, it is good to feel it. If we are not near the Lord, it is a mercy to realize our distance. If we do not enjoy peace, it is a mercy to feel that we do not, and confess the sins that deprived us of it. If individually we are left under the power of our enemies, that is, if some sins are prevalent, it is a blessing to confess the sins that took the sword out of our hand and gave them power over us. The worst thing would be to be ignorant of them. It would not have helped Nehemiah to have slept soundly on that first night at Jerusalem, saying, "Things are not so bad as has been reported." No, but he went out in the night and made a survey of the ruins. And sometimes we are brought to imitate him, rise in spirit and make a close, careful survey of our state, where we are, what we are doing here, how broken up there and spoiled, till at last we feel we are like a city with the walls broken down, the gates burned, and there are heaps of rubbish and nothing right. Do I exaggerate? It is an evil case some of us are in. Every exercised person does take a survey of his case, especially when he thinks the end is coming, and what does he to meet it? Ephraim was ignorant of his grey hairs and his weakness. Strangers devoured his strength, and he knew it not. Was that healthy? Samson was ignorant for a time that the Lord had departed from him. Was that ignorance good for him? He soon knew to his cost, when he lost his eyes, what he had done. Therefore may we, though it would be mortifying to our pride and trying to the flesh, have given us by the Holy Ghost a real view, a spiritual apprehension of the state we are in. And should any of you be so much favoured now as to feel you are near, that your minds are spiritual, that the Lord does hold fellowship with you, thank him, praise him for it, and I know you will bear with me and others while we seek to confess our distance and search into the causes. I think no person blessed with grace and perception of the glory of God in his worship would say that it is a good time with the Church of Christ now. Few would be found to say that the signs are at all good. On the contrary, they would acknowledge they are evil, they are portentous. If we understand what the worship of God is, we shall not say it is carried on in a prosperous manner, either in private or in public generally. Now Daniel had a perception of the evil things in his day. How could it be otherwise? For was he not a captive? And his people, were they not captives? Were not their enemies mocking? Was not the temple broken down? Were not the walls of the city demolished and the gates burned? All these things were present to him. He saw them in his mind. Moreover, he saw the reason of this desolation, as we have it throughout this chapter. We have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly. And this to him was a grievous sight. But he saw another, a wonderful thing. It was the most wonderful sight of all. He saw mercies in God, righteousness in God, goodness in him, and the sight attracted him. Also, he saw the covenant God had made with his people. And moreover, he understood by books and the prophecies of Jeremiah, as applied to the present condition of things and his nation, that the year was about to dawn when the Israelites should return to Jerusalem according to the promise that God would accomplish 70 years in its desolation, and at the end the city should be restored. When the Lord will bless people, he begins by convincing them of their sin and then bringing mercies before their view. Conviction leads to confession. The sight of mercy produces fervent prayer. These two things set going the wheels of the soul. The motion of divinely wrought faith fills the soul with energy, fervency at the throne of God's heavenly grace. So came this movement in Daniel. I set my face unto the Lord God. And probably he turned his face literally on this occasion to Jerusalem as he was wont. For it is said at another time, he opened his window toward Jerusalem 3 times a day and prayed. For Solomon's prayer was that if the people were in adversity, if they were put to the worst before the enemy, if there were blasting, mildew, drought and famine, or any sort of trouble, if they looked towards this house at Jerusalem and confessed and prayed, then said he, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do. This posture of Daniel set forth the attitude of his spirit towards Christ. That was the prevalent thing, and it is so today. It is the bent of the Spirit, its prostration before Christ, that does the turn and is acceptable to God. By this word I set my face. Therefore we understand Daniel's heart was set on seeking the face of God. My dear hearers, look at this point. It is not having a name to live, but life. Not mere thought, but a living motion. How many of us would dare to look up to God and say, we have set our face to seek him. We have a heart, a mind, and a disposition to do it, that he is the first we seek after. Religion is very solemn, the soul a great and weighty thing. Our lives have been sinful. Our conduct before God, how blameworthy. Our thoughts, ways and conversation, how foolish and sinful. A conviction of this lodged in the spirit, fixed there by the Lord, with the consequences of it. Absence from him, darkness of mind, captivity to our enemies, all felt, bring us to this point. I set my face unto the Lord God. This would take you aside, give you not a public, but a private religion. This would make your closet something to you. Thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. A religion that is dangled before the eyes of others may consist with a dead soul, but this inward exercise is vital. It makes God great, sin great. It brings a man to deal with God. Time is but for a moment. Its things are as shadows compared with eternity and its interests. This exercise then is a great one. It will take you past all men. You will get through the ranks of creatures, and but one man will be before you, the man Christ Jesus, through whose priesthood, office and work you must make your approach to God. All flesh you will pass by when you set your face toward the Lord God. Oh, my beloved friends, if you do not know what it is to have a heart to seek God and turn from everything else, it bodes evil for you. It looks bad, and it is so indeed. Nor is this a legal business, low or too mean for us. I wish to emphasize this point by repetition, for it is the very life of God in those who have it. They are made sensible of the evil they have done and their need of the blood of Jesus Christ. What a mercy to have a heart to seek him. If there is no heart in it, whatever form of seeking there may be, there is no effect. Ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Remember, there is a vast difference between the desire of the sluggard which killeth him, and the desire of the righteous which is granted to him. The desire of the sluggard is a sort of religion he can hardly dispense with. But the issue of it is a little slumber, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And that man's poverty comes as one that travelleth, and his want as an armed man with intent to take away his life. But the desire of the righteous will always beget in them Daniel's attitude, his feelings and confessions. I set my face unto the Lord God. The heart is engaged. It is well to ask ourselves the question, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing it's no heart to it? Therefore I beg you to look at this point. I urge it on your attention. I set my face unto the Lord God. That is, his heart was in the matter. Absence from Jerusalem, where God has put his name, was dreadful to him. So now, understanding by books that the years of desolation were accomplished in Jerusalem, he said, I set my face unto the Lord God. Here you will find that the devil in a bad nature will urge an objection. If the 70 years now expired must bring to pass the return to Jerusalem, why all this confession, this earnest seeking of the Lord for it? The devil abuses God's truth as far as he can, and he will abuse a divine decree whenever permitted before the eyes of his saints. He will say, prayer will make no difference. What God has decreed he will give, you cannot change his mind. Therefore let it alone. No, it is as much decreed that men should pray for a blessing as that God will give it. His word is, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. The voice is needed only in public prayer, but when you are away from all creatures, what is wanted is for the mind to be fixed, to feel, O God, my heart is fixed. And then for faith to make God real to you, to bring him near to you, to get his graciousness and glory in your heart's affections. But if, when your sins come up in the convincing light of the Spirit, your evil way, your conformity to this world, your ingratitude, hardness of heart, coldness, deadness, if when they come up it is such a trial of faith, you begin to think, how can I ask him to bless me, whom I have so shamefully treated, against whom I have committed such iniquities? And unbelief takes hold of the objection and says, leave off, it is no use to pray now. Then urge thy claim through all unfitness. The voice of unbelief is, God is absent, I cannot find him. But that of faith is, unto God will I seek and cry. I will cry unto God most high, unto God who performeth all things for me. Here we see the nature and work of faith. The nature is divine, the work is divine. It is an urging, pressing grace, a grace that takes a short cut. Make haste, O God, make haste. If in danger, what can you do but cry? If uneasy, what but seek relief? If God is absent, what can you do but seek to be made near? Therefore, faith's business is to make the man in whom it is working set his face to seek the Lord God. Beware of a smooth and easy religion. Mind this. Sin in your nature, in your thoughts, imaginations, ambitions, the devil with his temptations, his craft, his knowledge of human nature, his influence over the mind, these all will oppose every step of the saint's way to heaven, especially when far off, taken captive and put to the worst before the enemy. Do you know what weakness is? I mean in your heart before God. Weakness of experience, of faith, of hope, of love, of desire. Weakness in following after God, in prayer, in watching for answers. What weakness belongs to us? Nor is this all. It were enough if there were nothing else. But with this weakness we find we are confronted with strong enemies, a strong devil, strong lusts, strong reasonings against the goodness of our state, against ourselves. And these two things together make prayer a trying, difficult path for all who experience them. Is your religion weak? Faith weak? So that you are put out of countenance by any objection against believing, are turned aside by vain jangling within a short moment. Consequently, there is weakness in prayer. You are soon put off. You have no spirit, no power, no energy, but are put off by the most foolish thing in the world. If you look at the course taken by Daniel in this great business of the captivity, you find his face was set to seek the Lord. What a blessing, underneath prayerlessness of spirit, to have real prayer. We learn afterwards that there was prayer in what we hardly thought could be prayer. In a groan, in crying for mercy, in saying, oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down, in putting your evil case before the Lord, in seeking to bring to him continually what we would hardly like and are not called on to bring before friends in the fullness of it. The Lord may help you to lay your whole case before him, confessing what you could not say to others. that there is no service, no worship, no feeling, no nearness, no power, no sense of love. Everything is wrong, upside down and broken down. All these things you may be enabled at times, most humbly and fully, in groanings that cannot be uttered, to lay before the Lord. What a mercy, therefore, to have a heart to seek the blessed God, who alone is sufficient for every case. For with him there is mercy. To him belong mercies and forgiveness. Now this was a great holdfast for Daniel, and it was so with David. He said, with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Now, sinner, hold fast to this. When sin, Satan, backsliding and evil come against your praying and waiting, may the Lord help you to hold fast to this. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. The natural effect of sin is to shut one's mouth. The effect of a sight of mercies and forgiveness is to loosen, enlarge, give great boldness. I set my face unto the Lord God. We see in the case of Daniel, danger did not put him off this business. At the risk of his life, he would open his window towards Jerusalem and pray, though he knew his enemies were watching him. And I tell you that if you have a heart to seek God, that is to say, if you believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, as the apostle says to the Hebrews, if you have such a faith, no man, no devil, no sin, guilt, deadness, or fear can put you off from doing as Daniel did, when he set his face unto the Lord God. Where are your faces, my friends? In the night, if awake, where? This morning, when you rose, where were they? When you came here, where? And where now? You, like myself, must soon stand before him, whether you will or not. Now what a mercy to be earnest and honest in the matter of salvation. And what a mercy if the temple worship is not being carried on in your souls. That is, if you do not get sweet access by the one offering of Christ. If you do not partake of the Passover and other feasts, or enjoy his shining presence from time to time. But if you resemble Jerusalem, with walls broken down and temple burnt. If in that case you have a heart given you as Daniel had, to seek the Lord for a full restoration. Now what encouragement can we get from the scriptures in such a case to do this? Great encouragement. This first, if we confess our sins, O beautiful word, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to the covenant of grace, to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Holy Spirit never lets despair shut up a sincerely confessing sinner. If your hands are stretched out to God in heaven, if your heart is engaged in the sorrowful, heavy business of spreading out before him the sins you have done, of which the sight is too much for you, the scriptures afford you very solid, very great encouragement to go on and wait on God in that business of confession. And may he bring it to you. There is the dark side in our lives which needs confession. Israel was a backsliding nation, forgetful of God, unmindful of the rock of his salvation, and he turned aside to vain things. As God increased him, so he waxed fat, and kept against his laws. When Moses was absent, the nation forgot all about God. And though they remembered Moses, it was but to say, "We wot not what has become of him." The Lord's people painfully know for themselves how they resemble Israel in their sins. And there are other points of resemblance. God's chastening in stirring up adversaries, withdrawing his presence, sending famine, pestilence, troubles. His leaving them to prove their own foolishness. What an evil thing and bitter it is to forget him, turn from him, letting them prove that their enemies could easily overcome and get a victory over them when their great captain was not with them to go before them to battle. So they complain, "O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased, O turn thyself to us again. Thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies." It is little wonder their armies were defeated when God went not out with them. And thus his people prove that what is set forth in the word as typical is painfully real in themselves. Do not some know what his absence is? And what then takes place? What deadness comes in? What distance is felt? What foolishness they are a prey to? What defeats they suffer at the hands of their enemies? They said of old that the carved work was broken down with axes and hammers. And do not God's people understand what it is for their beautiful things, their bright, strong experiences, God's presence with them, their confidence in him, humility, tenderness of conscience, holy worship, reverence, to be broken, marred, cut and hacked about? But God is faithful, and though he chastens, he will not forget his covenant. For Israel has not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. This is God's method in the covenant of grace. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He said of old, "Only acknowledge thine iniquity." That is, there is no other bar between us if you return in confession. This is what I say, "Only acknowledge thine iniquity." One would think it not difficult to do so if one did not know better. How blind were the Jews, yet they said, "Are we blind also? Are we the people you are talking about? And are you any better?" If you were to say, "We have felt sometimes we would, if it possible, cover our sins with our hands while on our knees." If you have felt an indisposition or even an aversion to confess them, alas for me, I can join with you. But when the Holy Ghost comes, away does that indisposition, that hardness of heart, that vile hypocrisy that made you wish to say, "I am not so bad as that." And you say, "I have sinned." Then he says, "Come, false confessor. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say, 'Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips.'" My friends, a confessing man is welcome. Though he is drenched in sins and has the thick guilt of them on his heart and the pollution of them on his mind, so much so that he thinks the Lord must spurn him from his feet, such a man is welcome to a throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. I can understand a man saying the sight is too painful when he looks at what he has done and been since his profession of God's name. That to him is worse than all his sins before. Yes, but the blood of Christ, though a soul can cure. Oh, the divine happiness this brings, the sweet peace whenever it is applied. The blood of Christ effects a marvellous cure in a poor sinner's conscience. Therefore, this is encouraging. The Lord has said he is faithful and just to forgive the sins of all who make confession of them. One says, and we after him, why should I then poison cherish? Why despair of cure and perish? Look, my soul, though stung to death. In this encouragement, there is just the same thing Daniel had before him. John said, he is faithful and just to forgive. And Daniel, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem. Ezra pleaded the same. O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. We are apt to think that God is righteous, therefore we must give up seeking pardon. No, God is righteous to pardon, because he has promised not to cast out any who seek him, and has said to be to the vilest backsliders, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. From me is thy fruit found. Because he has said all these things, he is righteous to do them in the souls of his people. So I have dwelt at some length on this attitude of the soul expressed by Daniel in the text, and the encouragement God affords to all who are in it. I set my face unto the Lord God, as if the Holy Spirit in his own heart and mine uniting said, the time has come. Tell the Lord the 70 years are expired. Seek him, that as you confess, be sure you seek and ask him on the ground of his righteousness to do what he has promised. To seek by prayer and supplication. Prayer, this is the pouring out of the petitions of the soul, and supplications, the pressing of the case on God's notice, not in a perfunctory way, but the heart is engaged in it. Daniel meant what he said. Do you mean what you say when you pray? Have you ever said, whatever it costs me, whatever I lose, make me willing to leave all to be right? And have you meant it? Some prayers are heavy, but the people who offer them have grace to stand to them. With fasting and sackcloth and ashes, fasting spiritually applies to the mind. It implies a mournful abstinence, not a bodily fast. That is not imposed in the scriptures under the gospel. But there is a fasting, an abstinence from fleshly lust which war against the soul, to be observed. There is an earnestness in it. It means diligence in waiting on God and sackcloth. The man puts off his ornaments. When Israel had made a molten calf of gold, God said, put off your ornaments, that I may know what to do unto thee. If you go with tinkling ornaments about your spirit, some goodness to recommend you, when you think you pray, what God sees is a bespangled hypocrite. But when they are put off, and you are stripped of all your fancied meekness, what he sees when you pray is a confessing, broken down sinner, like the publican, and he justifies you. And ashes, these betoken that low estate that makes a man say with Abraham, I who am but dust and ashes. And like Job, to sit down among them, this shows the state of a child of God is in when he realizes where he is and what he has done against the Lord. I can only mention the great purpose Daniel had in this supplication and confession. It was the return of the captives to inhabit Jerusalem, the temple to be rebuilt, the service to be restored. And what does that mean? That the people thus blessed were covered with God's favour. In answer to this prayer of Daniel's, there came on the king from God a spirit to proclaim that the house of God at Jerusalem should be rebuilt and the city restored. God stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, then of Ezra, Nehemiah, and their companions, and these had authority to go to Jerusalem and everything given them for the work. And if we had grace to apply this to ourselves spiritually, we should see it means the full restoration of our souls, the answer of all our prayers and supplications, that is, that the Holy Spirit would again reveal the Lord Jesus and the abundance of peace and truth in him as he has promised. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. The Lord help us to follow Daniel in this place and bless us as he blessed him. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach this afternoon, the service to commence at 2:30, and there will not be a Sunday school. Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach on Friday evening, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Timothy Parrish, and he hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 235. 235. In all our worst afflictions, when furious foes surround us, when troubles vex and fears perplex, and Satan would confound us, when foes to God and goodness, we find ourselves by feeling to do what's right, unable quite, and almost as unwilling. Hymn 235.
bless that which we have heard read. And Lord, do follow and guide us. Grant meditation. Lord, may it prove to be one of my appointed times tonight. Lord, do be with us now as we come up. Do come up with us this afternoon. Do come up, thy servant, Lord. Give him that word to me. Lord, may the changes today prove to be appointed by thee. Lord, may there be something done to thy honour and glory. Lord, do give the word. Oh, may there be the power with the word. Bless the hymns given out today. Lord, we do pray for the children too. May there be something for them today. Lord, as they have no Sunday school today, but may there be something. Lord, oh, may there be something to remember in the services today. So, Lord, do be with us this week. Oh, do forgive all that thou hast seen amiss in our services. Do hear the prayers offered up today. Remember those in affliction. Lord, do hear, do sanctify these things. Oh, and do restore and heal where it is on. We ask it for Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost.